I wanted to continue on beautiful attitudes because I had some we didn't get to. So it's either going to be a matter of using it to fill in on classes or bulletins or whatever. But I picked that, and then when I got here this morning, I was talking to Bernice, and it's real close to where Donnie's at in Acts. So I'm going to have to warn Donnie. I'm getting a little bit ahead of him. I don't want to steal his thunder, but I'm going to jump over to verse 35 of Acts 20. But we're not doing the Acts study. We're doing a Beatitude study. If you want to go there and start. Something that I learned about this passage. When we go to Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul mentions there, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." That we're talking about giving here. "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" I didn't realize this, and I probably should have, maybe. That's the words of Christ. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we've heard that. I know we've all heard that many times. But do you realize that's the only place we hear it? It's not in the Gospels. It's nowhere else. Nobody else recorded it. If Paul hadn't shared that with us, we would have never known. Now, the attitude is there, the same teaching Christ had. But those words there, "it's more blessed to give than to receive," is recorded by Paul there as Christ speaking them. The attitude that we're looking at by Paul is something that really ties in good with our Beatitudes. I listed six things there that I thought we ought to look at. And a good tie that this giving has is it deals with possessions. It deals with our time. It deals with our money. There's probably, I won't say there's no other subjects in the Bible that there's more teaching on than money or possessions and the warning against them, but it's certainly one of the subjects that we have the most instruction on when it comes to our possessions, our money, and all that. We couldn't cover it all in one class. There's no way we could do that, but we're going to pick out some selective things about our possessions, our giving. This is all about our giving. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We'll pick out those six areas that we'll talk about. Getting ready with sowing and reaping. That comes in real close with what we just finished in our quarter about our sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 reminded us, if you'll remember, about God's not going to be mocked. What we sow, we're going to reap. So it sets, Galatians 6, 7, 8 sets the point or makes the point that we are going to reap what we sow. Now, if we go on to 2 Corinthians 9, 6, another one that we need to keep in our memory, I guess, as we go on, is the fact that we're also going to be blessed kind of in a proportion, I guess, or a, what's a better word, in proportion of how we give or how we do. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. "But I say this," or "this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So that furthers the point that we made from Galatians 6, 7, and 8, that not only are we going to reap what we sow, but we're going to reap it in a manner of how we act. So that starts bleeding over into our giving. We start understanding the feelings about our giving more. Our actions, I've got written down, directly dictate what we're going to receive in life. Not only what, but how much, how we're blessed. So number two, attitudes in our giving. If anybody's got anything, please speak up.
I was going to say, Mark, one thing too is that, I mean, it works that way in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't put our full trust in God, then, I mean, we're not going to get all the blessings from Him, or at least in the amount of blessing that we could have, as far as peace with God, that type of thing. And I mean, if you kind of just try to, when you try to straddle a fence, you're never happy.
Right, right, exactly. That's a good point. That's a good point. I think I heard it this past week in one of the messages that I heard something about this bad attitude that we have. I'm going to give God a little and get a little. You know, you can't go into it with an attitude like that. You're all in or you're all out, you know, or else you've got problems. Very good point. When it comes to giving, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to spend some time here especially on this second point, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. That's two chapters that we have of Paul directly addressing giving. So we can spend a lot of time in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and we're going to, but we're not going to go into every single point in depth, or we would never ever get through this. What kind of attitudes should we have in our giving? If you look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8, it mentions there the earnestness that came from their giving. It mentions over in verse 24 of the same chapter, it depicts an attitude of action, but both 8 and 24 verses bring out this proof of your love. This giving that you do, this earnestness, this attitude of action is proof of our love. So we need to keep that in mind. 2 Corinthians 8, while you're there in the same chapter, 13 through 14, mentions this equality. Now we're starting to form our minds thinking about giving when we start talking about some of these things. Equality. He uses a good example there of how it's not the intent to take from someone who has and make them needy by giving to the ones who have a need, but it's an attitude of evening things out, leveling things, making things equal, equality. We should be thinking about that with an attitude of love or concern for our brothers and sisters. You know, that's something that our hearts should be involved in, and it will be after if we apply ourselves, and this study is going to help us to do that. It's abundance supplying lack, resulting in the equality, is the equation that I made. 2 Corinthians 9, jump over to the next chapter there, 1 through 3, right in the opening of the chapter, it talks about a givingness of zeal, zealous giving, willfulness, willingness. Those are the kind of attitudes that we should have. 2 Corinthians 9, 5, just a couple of verses on down. Generosity, not as a grudging obligation. It would be just the opposite as a grudging obligation, but generous. Plentiful, I guess, would be a good word. And then going down to 9, 7, cheerfully. We often use 2 Corinthians 9, 7 about how we give cheerfully in that matter. But if we go back to Proverbs, let's get out of Corinthians for just a minute. Go to Proverbs 21 and 26. I like to back up to 25 because it starts off with he. And if we don't back up to 25, we're not going to know who he is. 25 says, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor." Now that's who he is going to be in 26. "He converts or covets greedily all day long." But look what the righteous does. The righteous gives and does not spare. He's showing us a direct contrast in the lazy man that has, it's going to hoard and give up for himself because he don't want to work extra, he don't want to do anything, as opposed to the righteous who gives, but not just gives, he gives and does not spare. So he's aware, that giver is aware of amount. He's aware of what he gives and how he gives. Made me think about, you know, selfish motives when it comes to giving. A selfish motive like this lazy man would have, would be someone who would strictly act or do in order to receive self for self, to benefit, be a good way to put it. There's no blessings in that. It's the unselfish giver who is the one who is blessed. And remember, keep in mind as we go through this, take note of how much the giver is talked about being blessed as opposed to the receiver. We don't want to fall into a selfish motive, as we're talking about now, of giving only because we think we're going to get something. That's not our motive. That's a reward, not a motive. Our motive is love and to help and equality. We need to give, and I wish I could claim this, but I've totally stole this. We need to give in order to do good, to help serve the cause of righteousness. What a simple phrase, but what a good phrase. We need to give in order to do good, to help serve the cause of righteousness. Giving, symptom of good, loving, concerned hearts. That's what giving is. It's a symptom. Also, giving is a good exercise to help grow a good heart. Our giving helps us to grow. Helps us, benefits us. It's easy for us to give, I had wrote down here, when we consider what all we've been given. When we truly sit down and take inventory and note, it's like when we purpose to give. We're taking thought into what we're doing. We're considering what we're given. It's the same thing here. When we consider all that's been given us and done for us by God, it makes it so easy for us to give because we realize how short we are on the spectrum. The more we give, the more others are influenced to give. It's a contagious thing. It helps others. It blesses them and it blesses us. Lord.
When we talk about giving, the first thing we should give should be our time.
Right.
When we give our time, we have a great reward.
Right.
And then that makes our other giving and helping other people come so much easier.
Right.
Because we realize the reward that we get from. We get more joy out of helping someone than they get out of it.
Right. That's great. That's a good point, Will. This cause of righteousness starts to open our minds. This contagious act of giving. You can't help but have the Macedonians come to mind. You know, what a good example they were givers, where they gave beyond their abilities. You can't help but start thinking about that. But your whole attitude starts changing toward this giving. And when you think about it, flip the coin, I often do, to help me keep perspective. Look at the world and how they react and how they give. You know, it's strange that men in the world will search for happiness or blessedness in the things that they hunt for, they search with. They look for making money, and then they use it selfishly. It's a detrimental thing to them. When it's obvious that selfishness and this love of money or whatever is the exact thing that's produced more unhappiness and more torment and horrible things in this world than anything. So it seems odd to me, you know, the world does not see the benefit of giving. They see that as everything going out, nothing coming in. And when you take this selfish attitude that the world has, you fall into these pits of using your own thing selfishly. And then you fall to these other temptations that come along with it. Selfishness only adds to the lack of others. That's easy to see. When others have needs and you have others who live only to benefit, to hoard, and to pile up, it just creates more need on one side. And it causes dissension and resentment. Mankind has tried to find his blessedness or his happiness in drinking, drugs, money, gambling, fornication, adultery, worldly power. Boy, when you get out into the world today, it's really starting to show. That's what drives a lot of men. That's what drives them more so than money. They'll take a beating in money to have power. Higher education, a lot of these things that we put our faith in. But you think about all the teaching that Christ gave us when it comes to these worldly things, and all that Solomon was able. He was financially in a place and an ability and authority to experiment with all these worldly things. And you know, Christ and Solomon both come to the same conclusion that it's all folly. It's all going to lead to destruction. And two, when you think about these things, these are all selfish things that are only for self. The drugs, that's for self. The power, that's for self. Money, that's for self. All you're doing, that's that selfish motive that comes in, that where you're piling into self, 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 self. That's the things that's destroying you and not benefiting you as the giving, the outgoing does. And here, I hope this is the nail in the coffin that drives the point that I'm trying to eventually get to. I know we've chased a lot of rabbits here, but 2 Corinthians 9, back into one of our chapters here of giving, 11 through 15. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through this proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing. That includes the liberal sharing. And for your liberal sharing, which them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That clearly shows us that what we're doing is to bring the glory and the honor to God. That's what we're doing when we do that. Not only does it bring and glorify God in what we do, we're glorified, not by the receiver, but we're glorified from God with all these rewards that we've talked about and all the benefits that we receive from giving. But it's God and our conduct and our love and our giving that is glorified through all that we do in our lives. No glory to self, but to Him only. Matthew 6:3. I think that's where, check me on that. I think Christ is speaking there about in relation to giving. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's
right. All right. That thought comes to mind of what we're talking about here. We don't do things for our glory. We do get benefit. We do get reward. But we don't do them for our glory. We do it for the glory of God. Because people look at us as the body of Christ, of God. 3, getting behind. To whom or what should we give? I have whom there, but it's what too. Write these down, but we've got to make a point. We're going to have to park the car here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. We're told that we're to give to the saints. If you'll remember, that's what we often quote. Authority for our giving, our laying by in store, and we do it as we prosper. But the question that we're asking or the point we're making, to whom? It's the saints that were mentioned there. Matthew 19, 21 and 22 mentions the poor. It's in context with the rich young ruler, I think, but it's mentioned that we give to the poor. Matthew 5:42 says, we give to he who asks. We loan to he who wants to borrow, and we give to he who asks. It's in the same context that we used in another one of our Beatitudes of turning the other cheek. And remember the point that we made about that. He who asks, and to the poor. We can't blindly just do that. We've got to, there's other things that qualify our giving when it comes to he who asks or to anyone. that has need. For instance, Ephesians 4:28, the next one I had written down here. Ephesians 4:28 mentions that we give to he who has need. That's what we're to look for, is the need. That kind of further qualifies this, he who ever asks. There should, need is what we should be addressing. We've got to be careful when we just start jumping into these things. Like we talked about in Romans 12 and verse 17, as much as we can to have peace with men. Well, we're to give as much as we can, but there's limitations to what we should be doing as far as giving. It can't just be a broad. We'll touch on that again in just a minute. But I think you understand the point that I'm trying to make. James 1:27 is another one. Talks about pure religion. Undefiled talks about visiting the orphans and the widows. I categorize that as the needy. That's whom we should give, the needy. And that's not necessarily money. We want to finish up with emphasizing that that's help, physical help, not always money. James 2:15-17, we're to help our brothers and our sisters. Proverbs 25:21-22, we're told there that we're to give to our enemies. That gives us the opportunity to segue back to the point we were just talking about qualifying our giving. It's not blind, open giving to anybody who asks. We got to be careful as we've made in the getting along and the fighting of evil. We can overshoot the runway if we're not careful. We can take these things too far and go beyond what the Scriptures are telling us. We have to harmonize our Scriptures. When it talks about giving to our enemies, Christ reemphasized that. We have to be careful about giving indiscriminately. Indiscriminately simply means randomly, without judgment, without concern. In other words, just giving to everybody who says, I want. We have to look at this more and harmonize the Scripture that we have, because this indiscriminate giving may not be a blessing to the one who's receiving. It may be detrimental to them. It may be horrible. So we have to have some judgment in it and consideration in our giving. Some things that it fed that we talked about before in our other attitudes that we studied. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, where it talks about, if you won't work, you don't eat. Blind, indiscriminate giving may facilitate that sin, and that's a sin. Proverbs 21:26 that we started out with a while ago for context about the lazy man, comes back to mind that we just made. Also, 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever. We can't let things get to the point that we're facilitating sinful life. That's not what we are to do. We're overshooting the runway. We're going too far with that when we let these things go that far. Number four, basis of giving. I'll go through these quick because we've got a good point to make. 1 Corinthians 16:2, often qualify as we prosper. That's one of the things we're to do. Luke 12:48, our giving is proportional to what we are given. Romans 12:8, liberally is another basis of our giving. Basis just means underlying support or foundation for. 1 Corinthians 13:1-2, love is what is described there. Because it makes the point, without love, our giving without love, our giving without the proper motive is completely unprofitable. It does no good. And then Acts 3:6. Give what we have to give. And that's where the point that Lowell made about our money and our time, that's what come in my study to my mind, is when we start talking about give what we have to give, it may not be money. Time It's concern, help, all these things that we need to keep, good deeds of all kinds. This is an easy subject to talk about from up here, because we've got a group that is more than willing to help and to do. And that's so encouraging. I think about C.L. and Shirley, how she's laid up for weeks. C.L. can take care of himself. The family can take care of Shirley. But it's an opportunity for us as brothers and sisters to give and to help. Man, that's encouragement to them. It's encouragement to us to think, hey, we can help. We can do something. We can't fix broken ankles or bad knees or any of that stuff, but we can help our brothers and sisters in these times. So you think, who gets more out of a hot meal or a chore that's done for somebody that's in need? And we do. They may get some grass cut, but really, when you put a value on that, the value's really not there. But look at the blessing that we get from being able to help and to do for our loved one. Anybody want to add to that anything? Because I'm going to touch back on that in a minute, but I want to get through this.
If we're keeping notes, I think Luke 14, verses 12 through 14.
Okay.
That's a good passage for that too.
Okay. Please put that down. I want to write that down too. Luke 14.
12 through 14.
Thank you, Lord. Second Corinthians 8:1-3. Made that note in the wrong place. According to and beyond our ability, we have an example there. According to our ability and beyond our ability. Matthew 7:9-11. Give only good things. We can't facilitate bad lifestyles. 2 Corinthians 8:5. We first give ourselves to the Lord, and then we give to others. Because who's the glory supposed to go to? To the Lord. If we don't first give ourselves, God gets no glory for these things. 2 Corinthians 9:7. As we purpose in our heart, we mentioned that before. Purpose means to consider, to think about, to weigh, to make realization of. And Acts 20:35, our text that we talked about, better to give than to receive. The reason I wanted to mention this is because it came to my mind. You know, we always have this thing, and we've talked about it before, of the world who has a hard time realizing that the old Mosaic law has been fulfilled. And this transition don't come easy for them. And they, you often hear in the context of giving, you hear the argument about the tithing. We all know from our studies that tithing was simply the mechanism put in place by God to sustain the Levites and their work, because they didn't receive land inheritances. They didn't receive a lot of these things. He was sustaining His work, His spiritual work, by taking a tenth of everybody else's and driving that machine with it. That was God's design. And we get that, the tithing. Problem is they like to bring it over into the New Covenant. And that's simply not there. We've already covered, we're to give as we purpose in our hearts and as we've prospered. So that's what we do. But we have to read, consider, evaluate, and determine what we're going to give when we purpose in our hearts. So that helps us. But when we think about from Hebrews, for instance, we were talking about Hebrews this morning, about the new law and how we're to give, the superiority of the new covenant that we're under as opposed to the old. Because that's what Hebrews is mostly about. Superiority of Christ, superiority of the law, superiority of all these things that we're now under in the fulfillment and end of the old law. So when we think about these things, the thought that comes to mind is if a tenth was required of you under the old law, and now we're under a more superior law, it only makes sense to me that would be even more so we should give. You know, we're not hampered. We're not cut off at a tenth. We're not all that. If we're under a more superior a law, why not give more? I'm not going to do the dangers of possessions, but I do want to say some things on the reward of giving. And I hope I'm not blurring this by everybody too quick. But our text, we're blessed. That's one of the rewards of our giving, number five. We're blessed. Another reward, Luke 6:38, you'll be blessed with the same measure. 2 Corinthians 9:6, we reap as we sow, which is kind of an echo of Galatians 6, 7, and 8. 2 Corinthians 9:8 mentions that we will have abundance for every good work. Abundance for every good work. We consider how blessed we are and we have love for our fellow man. We will act out of love. Love will be our motive. We've talked about that. Our act for the satisfaction, it's acts because of our satisfaction of knowing we help someone, our compassion, our considering, our abundance, that we've been blessed and given. All these things make it easier. It makes us givers and not takers. 2 Corinthians 9:10 through 12, just a few verses after that last one, we're enriched in everything for all liberality. God is glorified by us and those who perceive it. And 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19 talks about our giving, that we may lay hold on eternal life. That's a big reward. And when it comes to giving, we can't give enough for that. So when we're thinking about our giving, just think, we're laying hold on eternal life. You can't put a price on that. You cannot do that. Write these down and I'll get out of the way. Dangers of possessions, number 6. Take these home and study them. You can't go wrong on these. Matthew 6:19. They're temporal and lost. Matthew 6:24. Can't serve two masters. Luke 12:21. Put your value in possessions, it won't be in God. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 10. Temptations, snares, and lusts are going to lead to our destruction. 1 Timothy 6:17. Man will put his trust in his possessions. Those are the dangers. Go home and use those for your study this week. As long as the world stands, there's going to be poor, sick, homeless, and hungry. That's always been here, always will be here. They are the Lord's avenues for our happiness and for our building a wonderful bank account in heaven. Think about that. We can be godly and we can do our work all the while we're building our rewards in heaven. What a privilege to use one's talents and opportunities to make money honorably, to support one's family, and to have sufficient left over to help others too, as well as to help support the work of God. This is what fosters a loving, generous heart. Truly, it is more blessed to give than receive. Last thought. We have the greatest motivation of all when we look at God and what God gave. God gave life. God gave creation. God gave salvation. God gave His Son. We've got no better example of full-fledged, all-out giving. And it all came from love and concern for all of us. So, anybody got anything you want to add? A couple minutes over. Sorry. Thank you.